So we've been studying the letters 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and this is our first week taking a look at 2nd Corinthians. We're just going to kind of get a few weeks in 2nd Corinthians. We're not going to cover everything. But there are some differences. 1st Corinthians, we see a lot of divisions in the church, and they're arguing over various things. By the time Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, it seems like things have changed, but unfortunately not for the better. It appears that things are worse. They've moved on from just internal divisions to openly resisting Paul and his leadership. So much of 2 Corinthians is Paul defending himself, defending his ministry, and mostly defending the gospel of Jesus that he preached when he was with them. Those Corinthians, they're still so focused on success and spiritual highs and glory. The word boasting is, I think I found more than 40 in both 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Paul uses the word boast or boasting. And just to compare, in Romans, it's less than 10 times that he uses that word. So they've got an issue with boasting, and Paul's trying to give them an idea of what good boasting is, what good success is, what healthy spirituality is. But there were these other preachers who, in the words of S.J. Haefman, promised the Corinthians a life in the Spirit that was characterized by deliverance from all suffering and a steady diet of miraculous experience. And that sounded pretty good to them. They liked those preachers. They liked that gospel. Liked it better than the sufferings of Christ and the hard and difficult road for Christ's followers that they heard from Paul over there. And then they saw Paul's life, and they're like, this guy, he's always in trouble. He's always getting put in prison or shipwrecked. What's his deal? What's wrong with his spirituality? He doesn't seem very successful. So Paul, instead of boasting in his strengths in order to defend himself, which would be kind of a natural reaction for many of us, right? He boasts in his weaknesses and in his challenges, his problems. We'll take a closer look starting at verse 8. He says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed." So hard-pressed, the circumstances are piling on the pressure. But Paul can always see a way out. He can always escape by God's grace. He's not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Being in Jesus doesn't take away all doubt or all worry from Paul's life. He has those days where he is perplexed and confused and does not know what God is doing. But he's not in despair. There may be kind of a play on words here. Murray Harris put it this way: to be at a total loss, but not lost. Victor Furner said, he's confused, but not confounded. He's not completely in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Paul is harassed in all kinds of ways and in all kinds of places for his faith in Christ. But he's never abandoned by God. He is abandoned by friends, co-workers, all kinds of people abandon him in his ministries, but he's never, never abandoned by God. Struck down, but not destroyed. He gets knocked down again and again, but he gets back up. He gets back up. In each of these, we see human weakness, followed by divine power, holding him together, keeping him from falling apart. Divine power and presence that is revealed, made more obvious in human weakness. Verse 10 says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. The glory of God was revealed in the death of Jesus, and so God can shine his light through us too if he wants to. Why not? But we can't have that life of Jesus without the sufferings and death of Jesus. Like maybe the Corinthians kind of want to just kind of erase that part. And who can blame them, right? Let's go back to verse 6. 6 and 7, let's take a closer look here. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. That's a lot there. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Clay jars were very common back then. They were easy to make or find. They were inexpensive. It wasn't uncommon to hide something valuable in a clay jar because who would look? It's just kind of an ordinary clay jar. Kind of like we might put cash in a mattress or some other clever hiding trick if we didn't trust the bank or whatever to hide what is important to us or special to us or valuable to us. And of course, clay jars are also very fragile. They're easily broken, but easily replaced. Maybe kind of like plastic for us, only not like floating around in the ocean. So it's just ordinary. Breakable, replaceable. Our bodies, our lives, are the clay jars. Ordinary and very fragile. Inside our bodies lives the treasure. Inside our lives is the treasure, and that's singular. There's only one treasure. And the treasure is the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Judith Deal said, God chose to put the treasure of his gospel in the hearts of fallible, cracked, chipped, and fragile human beings. And I always ask, really, God, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure that's a good idea to put the light of Christ in us? It is God's plan. Before his death and resurrection, Jesus spoke of the treasure hidden in the ordinary. Back in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all that he had and bought the field. He hid that treasure back in the same field until he could buy the land. He didn't think anyone else would find it there. There is one treasure, Christ, hidden in plain sight, veiled by the ordinary and the broken. The treasure of Christ is worth more than anything. So when we find the kingdom of God in Christ, we do anything to get and hold on to that treasure. While I was preparing this week, I thought of kintsugi, which is the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery. It's all the way back to the 15th century. Instead of sealing the cracks with a similar cover to kind of hide the blemish or the breakage, or instead of throwing it away like we might do, kintsugi keeps the same piece, the pot or whatever, the vase, and it actually highlights the damage by using gold or silver or platinum to seal. And so the repaired piece is actually worth more than the original. The original is valued enough to keep, to repair. It's not discarded. And the flaws are embraced, and it's worth more than it was before it got chipped or broken. What a beautiful and powerful image of our weakness, our brokenness, redeemed and restored by God, who fills in the cracks with his light. I was also reminded of a testimony that I heard from one of the members of our church, our previous setting, and I asked Johanna if I could share what I remember of her testimony with all of you, and she said yes. So thank you, Johanna. She told us about a time she was working as a nurse, but after giving birth to her third child, she had an experience of postpartum depression and found herself admitted to the hospital she worked at. This is a small town, small hospital. So she was being cared for by her nurse coworkers, the same people that she had been praying for, that she had been trying to share Jesus with, trying to spread the good news with. They were the ones helping her through her hard time. And what I remember Johanna saying in that testimony is, we think we have to have it all together to share Jesus, but we don't. And forgive me if you didn't actually say that, Johanna. That's what I remember. What I take from that is that we can actually let people know our real selves, and we share what Jesus is doing in us. Sometimes we get to talk about what Jesus did decades ago, and our testimony has like a clear beginning, middle, and end, and we can put a nice bow on it. It's just all neat and resolved. And that's good. But other times, we share God's presence in the midst of our messy and very real lives. Not all of our weakness and brokenness is resolved instantly. And if we share that, we give people a blessing by seeing what Jesus is doing in us now. Like with Paul, maybe we're feeling the pressure, but we're not flattened. Maybe like Paul, maybe we have confusion or doubt. Where are you, God? What are you doing? But we're not totally lost. Maybe like Paul, the struggle is significant, but we at least know God is with us. Maybe like Paul, we're just really having a hard time, but we'll get back up and we'll try again with his help. Those are the kind of testimonies that most real people can relate to. Maybe more than what God did for me 30 years ago and now it's 100% resolved. Although those testimonies have their place too. But let's not wait to get all our ducks in a row, get our lives together and all perfect before we share Jesus. Let's share what he's doing now. Leonard Cohen, songwriter, died a few years ago. His song Anthem, I love this verse. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And that reminds me of the clay jars and the treasure of Christ shining in 2 Corinthians 4. So we may think we need to have it all together, but it's actually in our brokenness that the power of God is revealed. It's not just that God kind of like works around us in spite of us, but that God has an affection for shining his light through our brokenness and weakness. He really enjoys doing that, I think, so we don't wait till we have it all together. Now is the time for imperfect offerings. Now is the time for sharing the treasure of Christ through our ordinary and imperfect lives. And the good news about that is that it becomes more about Jesus and a little bit less about us. So maybe, like Paul, maybe your homework for today is to write a weird boast, a strange resume, listing your weaknesses, your struggles, and then take a closer look and see how God's power has been or is being revealed through these. I don't think the Corinthians had ever done that, so focused on success like they were. But if they had taken a closer look, they would have found that we're all ordinary. We're all easily broken. Let's stop striving for perfection and instead let the light of Christ shine through us as we are. Amen. We'll respond.